holding it.
Okay. This is better. Okay. Very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 15th, is it? 16th, 16th of April 2017, a Sunday. So today is our April House Dana for the year 2017. As usual, we would like to thank Brother Jingyap, Sister Lee Hong and family for so kindly invited us all over to have this House Dana together with them to partake in all the wholesomeness that is possible because of their good intention to hold this House Dana. Then let us thank them in the usual way by rejoicing three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So as you can see, the house can be very spacious and cozy inside. I look at the layout, I like it, very spacious and very neatly done. So your mind, you should clean them up the same way. If you can understand the analogy, then you will know how to train your mind. Most people keep a lot of rubbish in the house, you understand? Things that are not really useful or that you really need. But because of attachment, you keep on keeping them here. Then you realize over the years, you have more and more and more. Your brain is the same. Your mind is the same. You keep on holding to all those views, which are wrong views, rites and rituals. You will have the same problem. You will come to understand that there is not much space within your brain or your mind. You can't move. Whereas when you clean it up, you clear, then there is spaciousness. Then you can move. And you can do a lot of things with space. Space means free. Freedom. The mind that has space has freedom to move, to act. There is clarity. Just like a house. When there is space, you can see clearly where are the usable space where you can make use of. Somebody is here. One of the sisters, Selena. Is it Selena? I don't think so. Yeah, this one is another one. Wow, your sound very good, Jing Yap, Leon. This one is the last one, isn't it? Yeah, that one I saw in SKF one. Come. Join us, we're just about to start. So as usual, we will have the puja first. Can we have Lei Hong and Jingyap and the sun to light the candles and the incense so that together we can make the puja offering. The rest of us can stand. Yeah. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Thank you. Let us do our puja chanting. You can face the altar over the other side. Then we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Sokato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Tutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Kanna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina diloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang kanda sambarayotena dopena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang, puja bhajana mutamang, vanna ganda guno petang, tang kusuma santatin, pujayami monindasa, siripada sarorohe, Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Bunnena Nvitena Cha Hotu Mokhang Pang Milayati Ata Idang Me Kayo Tatayati Vinasa Pavang Adivase Thuno Bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tunobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tu no bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, let us chant our puja inspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Understanding the significance of offering of likes. May this offering of like to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear mind. Clues and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offerings of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation the bond-free nibbana, making of all wrong aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may all spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings, may these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. So very fast, we are approaching the tail end of April. We have just passed the middle of April 15, so today is the 16th. So it's already almost one third from last year. So 2017 been another auspicious and beautiful year for us Kayanamita, because this nature can feel. Then the Dhamma will again flourish. And from this year onward, it's going to become even more potent or stronger because of the sudden condition that arise for the Bodhisattva way to take off. And it has taken off beautifully. At our last retreat, last month, March, at Cameron Highland, for the first time, we renew, reaffirm, and for some who are new, we took the Bodhisattva vow again. And this time we take with understanding, and I think most of you understand the importance of these vows and aspiration. It is meant to help Kayanamita, or those who are on the path, or who has the affinity to move faster. When you have this understanding, when you make this appropriate aspiration and the vow, it will take you along very naturally. And because of that understanding, when we commit ourselves through sincerity, through faith and perseverance, then we vow to have this understanding life after life when we come. That's why we determine. Initially, for the first 3 to 6 months, you have to do it every day at least once to remind yourself of this vow. Initially, you may read it out from the notes. But as you move along, it becomes more and more clear to you. Then suddenly you realize, without the notes, you can recite the vows. And that is the stability that you need. Then when you have this firmly developed, means the Bodhi mind that you have planted, or the Bodhi seed that you wanted, to develop and nurture so that you can walk this path with full understanding and ease, can take its root firmly in your nature, so that whenever you come, whether you have to come or you choose to come, this Bodhi seed that is planted, it will establish itself and it will mature on its own. And it will arise the understanding when you come again. Any of the condition that you encounter in life, it can be in any form. It can trigger off the right view and the right understanding that you have determined through your aspiration and vow. Then all of a sudden, you will recall them. Then you will know how to act and move and live your life in accordance, then your nature will open up because of your vow. Then you will know how to develop this understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. And this is how it is possible for cultivator of the way to maintain this understanding life after life. Otherwise, it's very difficult if you don't have this vow. It will be very difficult for you to encounter the Buddha Dhamma. The reason being, the sasana is very short. After the sasana, without the sasana, the universe will be in darkness. And during those periods, it's very, very difficult to establish yourself in the Dhamma way, because the Dhamma will be like lost. And it's very difficult to hear the Dhamma again, because without the sasana, the triple gem is like no more in existence. Without sasana means without the Sammasambuddha's teaching. And without the Sammasambuddha's teaching, very unlikely there will be any Dhamma in the world. When there is no Dhamma in the world, how can there be enlightened beings in the world? The noble disciple of the Buddha. And because of that, the possibility of encountering the Buddha Dhamma is as good as near zero. Unless you have the vow, the affinity that can bring forth the seed of Bodhi that you have planted for you to reconnect back through nature's law, to establish this understanding. Then when you meet up with all those great beings who have the same vow and same understanding, then you can still learn from them even without sasana. For normal living beings, they don't stand a chance. That's why even during the sasana, if they have developed the cultivation, maybe progress quite well, but when the sasana is no more, because they don't have this understanding, this vow, they will lose their way and they will fall, create a lot of karmic negativity, karmic obstruction. And all this will bring about tremendous downfall in their karmic nature. That's why it will take them a long time to come out of it, to recuperate from it. Then you have to wait for the next window, the Buddha Sasana, which could be very, very long. Even if you have planted the seeds of wholesomeness during the Sasana, it will mature, of course, during the next Sasana. But then, by then, you have committed too much karmic negativity, too much karmic obstruction, and it will keep on obstructing you from meeting with the true Buddha Dhamma. Then a lot, because when they cultivate, they may not develop the right understanding, encounter the correct Buddha Dhamma. So when the next sasana window open, you may still follow the old way that you used to develop. That's how it's very difficult to encounter the true teaching. So this line, this sasana, you have such great condition, you should determine and make this affirmation so that it can bring forth the condition for you to set your nature so that life after life from now onward, whether you got sasana or no sasana, this Dhamma understanding, this right view will be firmly established within your nature. Then technically, you can move on your own. But because of your understanding, especially this life, you will make use of whatever merits, wholesomeness that you have developed, or the great fertile condition for you to develop great affinity with all the great beings, all the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, and all those great beings so that this affinity can be established. Then if you know how to seek their guidance, their blessing, and their protection for their form and mind, then life after life, when you come, their nature will also bless you, protect you, and guide you. That's how you can progress along the path of Dhamma, continue to develop this wholesomeness of mind, to walk this way, to establish yourself firmly on this path. Then your vow, your four basic vow, and the three sets of pure precept will take you along. So with this, maybe we will start off with the puja, sorry, the dana offering. Is all the food ready? All the food, are they ready? Ready for offering? Yeah, ready, yeah. Okay, so we can now together, maybe. Where are they? Some outside, some inside. So we have to establish a line. We have to establish a line to connect. No need to connect to outside. Then we rejoice together. You all hold the table, then you tap each other, then together we will rejoice with the offerings. Just form a line until inside here. I think we got enough people. Oh, no need to go so far. You mean until inside? Wow. Oh, enough. Okay, long enough. Okay. Bring it out. Bring it out to here. Bring it out to here. Put here. Put here. Some of you going to help. Put here enough. Yeah. Okay, no need to worry. Here. Just nearby here. Nearby. They decide to bring it out. Okay. Let us form a line. Form a line. Gyatso gear. Yeah. Bring all out. Okay, they decide to bring all out. So we can all assemble outside. Sadhu. Okay, good. Bring. Okay. We can have all this outside. Never mind. Go chang.
Enough. We got a wireless one. Hello. Okay, very good.
We can just touch. Oh, then you will touch it. Never mind. You just leave it. Okay. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then, being house dana today, I believe a lot of you have also partake in this wholesomeness. You have bring the offerings, and together with Brother Chin Hao, Ching Yao, Tay Hong, and family. All the food is ready for offering. So shall we all rejoice with the offering? Sadhu. Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the first house dana that get ready ahead of time. You are 10 minutes ahead of time. I really rejoice. Thank you so much. Sadhu. Most of the other house dana, we got to remind them to clean up. So today, you all have learned something that even surprises my nature, which is very good. But also, very likely, because you are more organized nowadays than before, because you are more mindful, more heedful. Earlier on, most of them are carried away. They enjoy the food and the talk until they forgot the time. So in life is similar. If you are not mindful, not heedful, you will get yourself lost in thought, lost in the thing that you develop the interest to maybe enjoy. It can be in the term of food or the way you chat with people. Mindfulness is something that the Buddha introduced to the world, and it is something that builds up a different quality to your mind. When you are mindful and aware, you are a totally different human being. You have a special mind. The mind that can be mindful of the moment in awareness to understand things, to have clarity. Then this mind is not heedless. Heedless means you don't know what is going on. You feed on habitual tendency. You feed on what your mind wants to do, the craving, the desire, the attachment, the fear, the worry, the anxiety. But the moment you are aware, all this, for the time being, temporarily cease. So the moment you are aware, it breaks it off. That's why your heedlessness will not continue. But if you are only momentarily aware, it has got not much use. That the next moment it come back and influence or condition you again. So the Buddha call it the process of attachment, clinging, grasping, or in the Mahayana term is called accumulation. You accumulate all of life experience. Then you pick and choose. You choose what you like, you reject what you don't like. And both of these are mental hindrance, sensual desire and ill will. It is also part of the evil result, greed and hatred. So when you choose, you will have problem. That's why Krishnamurti is very wise. He used this word. Wherever there is choice, there is confusion. You heard of this? Huh? You heard of this before? Huh? I used to mention this in the early days. Whenever there is choice, there is confusion. You have to understand this sentence in its actual perspective. Then the meaning will become very clear. Choice means what? The duality, the like and the dislike. But making a decision is not a choice, Anasana. You see the difference? Can you differentiate between the two? Yes, in life, you have to make a decision. If you don't make a decision, you cannot move on. And making a decision is not like the word choosing, Anasana. Making a choice is different from making a decision. So when you make a choice, means you either like or you dislike the duality. Then you accumulate. But making a decision is you use your wisdom, your understanding. You make a decision so that you can resolve things amicably and move on. And that is based on wisdom, understanding. You don't decide out of fear, out of worry, out of anxiety, out of sorrow and lamentation. And then that type of decision will give you a problem. That's why when you act, it's the same. All of action and decision is the same. You decide, then you act. That's why acting out of memory is not acting at all. What is memory? Memory is our accumulation of life experiences, good and bad, positive and negative. What we accumulate in our brain are all of life experiences. The good part of your life, you can recall through good memory. Like when you have a good holiday, yeah? Or you recall your good childhood moments. Yeah? But at the same time, the opposite is the same. Your fear, your phobia, your whatever bad experiences when you go through life. So these are the things that create the duality in life. So all of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, they can become your phobia. They call it the scars of memory. You accumulate them, you hold on to them. Then all of your selfishness, your craving, your desire, your lust, your habitual tendency, you accumulated them. Your negative tendency, all this. So if you act according to this, there is no pure action. So Krishnamurti says acting according to memory is not acting at all. Because you are not using wisdom to act. You are using memory to act. And what is memory? Your accumulation of all of your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your attachment, your choices that you make in life, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So all this will bring about suffering, misery. Because these are all based on ignorance, delusion, the evils of greed and hatred, or selfishness, and negative emotion like envy, jealousy, sadness, your fear, your phobia, and all those things. So how do we act? How do we make decision? We make decision and act out of understanding, wisdom. And wisdom is not from memory. Wisdom is from your awakening. When you are mindful, you are aware, you are sensitive, you can understand all this. Then you don't need memory to come and condition you to act. But when we can feel for people, we can reflect on how it's like when people scold us, abuse us, or say things that are not appropriate. When we feel it, this form and mind feel it, then you come to realize through your mindfulness and your awareness, you are conditioned into such state because of self-delusion. Because before you are enlightened, before you have the understanding, the awakening, you will be affected. Yet you think this fire aggregate of form and mind is you. You think you are what you are. Just like just now, one of the sisters came and talked to me about the earlier life problem. Yeah, she brought a friend who was a Christian with some relationship problem and other things. And she told me, this lady after meeting up, she is much more happier, better. And she said, yeah, it's very difficult to let go or not to attach, not to cling. I told her it's not just learning to let go, not to attach, but these are all from the thought. This can never free you. You must see the truth of it, then awaken to it. Once you understand, you will not let yourself entangle again. You will not subject yourself to all this problem again. That is what wisdom is all about. When you are sensitive, when you are mindful, then you will know. By doing the same, if I were to scold people, abuse people, cheat, deceive, break the precept, and create all this karmic negativity to people, people will also suffer. They will also have the suffering, the misery, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the phobia. So whatever people do to you, you can feel it. That you cannot do to others because this is karmic. It has its friction. So what you need to understand is this mindfulness is very important. It can make you aware and become sensitive to a lot of things. So when you are sensitive and you understand, you will not do to others, then you prevent your karmic nature from falling. Then you will have less and less of this karmic friction. Then you will have more and more moments of good life, happy life. Then you realize through the nature's law, the nature's law of karma, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. And it is from this understanding that the Buddha came out with his teaching. He said, according to this law of karma, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So knowing very well that karma plays such a great role in our life, we have to take care of karma. How do we take care of karma? The Buddha already mentioned. You have to determine to avoid all evil. And how do we avoid all evil? We have to avoid all action, all speech, and all thought process that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And to do that, you have to keep your precept. Those who violate their precept has the three evil roots that make them evil. So this is the beginning of training. And how can we do that? To do that, like I explained in the Klang talk last Friday, which is about two nights ago, you have to develop mindfulness, awareness, to be aware of your thought process, your mental intention behind all your actions, speech, and thought process. And you have to learn to understand what constitutes evil. What do you mean by the three evil roots? They are the roots of all evil that can make you evil. The Buddha just mentioned greed, hatred, and delusion. You have to expand on it. What is greed? It's not greediness alone. Greediness is just a small part of greed. All of your selfishness, your desire, your craving, your lustfulness, your deceitfulness, they constitute greed. Then hatred also same. Not only when you are angry, when you are full of anger, hatred, unhappiness, but even your envy, your jealousy, your dislike for things, your negative perception of things, when you see things and perceive things with negativity, even trigger of your fear, your worry, your sorrow, your lamentation, because this is delusion, self-delusion. So all this, when you have developed the understanding of it, what constitutes evil, then you can be mindful of it. That's why I gave you all a very simple advice. Whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, means the evil roots are there, the wrong thoughts are there. So always check. When you are mindful, the slightest moment of unhappiness or lack of peace, you will know. When you don't have joy, when you are not able to be peaceful with the moment and have this joy in you, you are holding on to some negative tendency. The evil roots are there, the wrong thoughts are there. And this is how you can be mindful and you can check. Then when you can have more and more moment of joy, more and more moment of peacefulness, awareness, mindfulness, clarity of mind, stillness of mind, then you develop the opposite of what normal beings do. You become more and more heedful, more and more mindful, more and more peaceful, and more aware. Instead of being heedless all the while, lost in thought, worry about life, planning about life, thinking of this, thinking of that. Keep on worrying, keep on projecting, holding on to things, cling on to things. And this is the cause of suffering, the Buddha said. All of accumulation, all of attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, they are the cause of suffering. You don't have to believe the Buddha. You check.
When you attach or cling to your physical body, do you suffer? You definitely will suffer. Because you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Those who go through sickness, you will experience that. And this recent China trip, for us, it was indeed a very beautiful trip, although short. Because I went with a group of people who are much older than me and my wife. Me and my wife are the youngest. The rest is at least, at least, we use the word at least, 9 years older than us. There are some 15 to 16 years older than us, almost 80. So 9 of us went. 7 of them are very old. 2 of them are 9 years older, means 72, still young. Then there was one about 75. Not that old. But the other 4, the other 3, they are near to 80. Then there was one more, I think. That one also quite young. That one older than me by maybe 2 or 3 years old. Yeah. So what happened was, when I saw them, when they are with us in PJKL, we used to have dinner. And these are the group that likes to have dinner because they already make their money. And they also like good food, then they like investment, then they also like to travel. So we set up a website, we call it the MIT, not Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It stands for Makan, Investment and Traveling. Then I say, not only Makan, M also stands for money. So money, investment, traveling, of course, include makan. But what I want to tell you is, you can see as they age, when you see them during dinner, it's different. They look normal. They can still have joy because they have the money. They are quite successful, and most of them know how to invest. But there is one very good one. Very good one. I think within the the Chinese educator, he is one of the very famous one. Whenever he buy any stock, people will, he is like a Warren Buffett, that one. When people know that Warren Buffett buy this stock, they will go and buy. And his name is very unique. And he was with us. He was with us. That's why We had become close friends, because Gumoy knows him very well. Then Gumoy introduced us, and we have known him many years. And he liked to talk to me, because he also liked my understanding of the investment market and all things. So we were close. But what we observed very distinctly is, one of them told us, wow, you can still travel. You must make it a point to travel. Otherwise, when the time comes, when you have to be bedridden, you can't do what you want to do. Even though you have the money, you can't. Then he said, there was a suggestion from his group. He said, these people still think that they are young. He said. Then I listened. I said, why? He said, they still believe that every 2 years we meet once among their colleague and their classmate. He said, now 2 years is too long. He said, every 1 year a few gone missing. You wait for 2 years, you can hardly find anyone left. Then when we were at this, our last month, we had one. Beginning of this month, before my trip. We had one gathering too. And among our classmates, especially my civil class, we make it a point to meet every month, once a month. Then there was another group, also very old one, Chongling old boys. There we were at that association. These old boys, they were 28 of them now. And they were all, I think, they are in Form 5 in the year 1956. Which means they are at least, well, that was the year I was only 2 years old. Which means they are at least 15 years our senior. They are all approaching 80 years already. And last time, during wartime, you go to school late. Some are 80-something. The youngest is 78, I remember. So they make it a point to have also monthly gathering because he said 1 year is too long. Then I can see those three who are more elderly. They really can't follow the pace. So a lot of them, they look very tired. Very difficult for them to keep the pace. One of them, the moment we arrive, he asked the tour guide, the Tao Yu, he said, "Can I not join the group tomorrow? He said, I would like to stay back in the hotel. Wait till you all go round after the 4 days, then you come back, then I join you back." Because actually he was having problem, difficulty. But somehow I think he recovered after a good night's rest. Then he decided to join us. So luckily he came along. Otherwise, some of them in the group, yeah, they are very close friends, they will worry about him. We are alone at that age. But they know how to joke. After 2-3 days of good food and good hotel, he tells that elderly friend, he said, "Luckily you made a decision to come along. Otherwise you miss all this good food, good hotel, and you alone down there. We also worry about you." You know how he responded or not? "How do you know I will be alone?" So he was a man, dear to 80. He was a doctorate, he has a PhD. "How do you know I'm alone? I can hire a beautiful young guy to take me around." So I told him, I said, at least he can still joke, means he's okay now. So life is to have this understanding. While this form and mind can serve us, we should appreciate life to the fullest and make full use of it. Like my teacher used to tell me, if this body can talk, it will say this to you and you will feel very, very paisei towards the body. This body, if it can talk, it will tell you, because you are like his master, understand? He will say, "Oh master, harm me not, for I am only tissue and cells. Have me work for you, for the good of the many and yourself, before I am too old, too weak, and too fragile to serve you." If your body can tell you with such loving kindness and understanding, and as a human being, if you are a true human being, you cannot appreciate what your body has done for you since birth until now, you will have suffering, you will have misery. Because you don't understand how, through loving kindness, they have to serve you to the last moment. Until this one gives way, they never complain. But your consciousness that is trapped inside always complain. Yeah, you believe this is you. You attach, you cling, you hold. So not having the understanding of life or who you are, what you are, can lead to a lot of suffering and misery. When you have the understanding, when you know how to care for this form and mind, then you will know how to create the appropriate condition for this form and mind to serve you well, to last you longer. That's why you must not abuse it. You must not harm it. How do you abuse the body and the mind? How do you harm them? Through what? Louder, louder. Through what? I heard stupidity. Ah, negativity, very good. That is very good. But you have to expand on that word, negativity. Means negativity of what? Action, speech, and thought process. You know, when people become unhappy, miserable, this wrong thought, negative thought, create a lot of negativity. Do you know what they will do? Yeah? The first thing, obvious one is what? Huh? Louder, louder. Harm others, not so fast. That one come later. When you become unhappy, what you do? You get angry. You get miserable. Then what you do? You want to forget about all this wrong thought. Because you say, this is causing me hell. Like last time I remember, Jin Hao told me. He said, he was very young that time. You know. He said, suddenly, he said, the thought become like mad. You know. He said, it like want to burst. You know. He cannot take it anymore. He want to talk to Song. He said, please tell me where you can go. Then Song said, you can go India, where last time he went before. Where he go for his meditation. So that time he didn't know. He just bought a ticket, you know, alone, you know, and he fly there. Reached there middle of the night. Then Song tell him, you have to be careful of the taxi guy. The taxi guy can take you to Holland a few rounds, then manipulate your money, then you will have problems and all those things. But somehow he was lucky. He managed to end up reaching that place. So he just say he need to go somewhere to be peaceful. That's it. So that thought process can be very, very severe. And it can like condition you into madness. Then you like make you crazy. Then some they go and drink. Yeah? Most of them will go and drink, like drown themselves in sorrow through alcohol that knock them off. But when you wake up from that, what you call a hangover. Hangover, you become more miserable. Then the problem don't go. This is how you harm your body. When you take a lot of alcohol, when you go and smoke, indulge yourself in all those late night activity, vices and all those things. Because you mix with the wrong people, you associate with the heedless. Like what I told that sister just now. What happens is, they are heedless. They will say, come enjoy life, forget about your problem. They take you to karaoke and all those things. Then they take you to all those places, you end up getting yourself entangled with the drug addicts and all those things. Then you harm yourself, hurt yourself, make yourself miserable, entangle yourself into so much problem. That is because of your karmic past. In the past, this is what you do. You become heedless. And you did all this to people. Just like what these heedless people do to you. So karmically, you will become the victim. You will end up in this way. Then you will become miserable. That is how you harm yourself. By not realizing what is going on. Through heedlessness. Through drinking. All these are. They call it the cause of downfall, late night and all those things. All this, if you check, they violate the five precepts. Taking, partake intoxicant, alcohol, drugs and all those things. They're having late nights. Didn't avoid the foolish and the heedless. Doing all the things that brings about downfall. When your mind is affected, consciousness is affected, you become drunk. You lose your ability to be sober, to be aware, to be mindful. And through that heedlessness, it will bring about a lot of karmic negativity and downfall. And this is how you end up harming yourself, hurting yourself. Then you keep on having this headache, dullness of mind, leading to more sorrow and lamentation. Then, like Christina say, you become very violent and so on. When you are drunk, you can harm people, you can hurt people. Then sometimes people don't understand, they argue with you. You can even kill. You can end up even in police case, lock up and all that thing. This is what the heedless people will do when you don't love yourself. When you harm yourself, abuse yourself, you will end up in such severe situation. So life is understanding all this, developing the awareness of all this. Then when you do not perceive things with negativity, you can come out of it because you are aware. This one is leading me nowhere, causing me to have suffering, misery. Then I used to tell that lady who came and said, this is the game of suffering that humanity has been playing for so long. If you already have the Dhamma, do you still want to continue to play this game of suffering, misery, or harming yourself, hurting yourself with all the wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your heedlessness, your selfishness, your craving, your desire, your great sorrow and lamentation and unhappiness. All these are wrong thoughts. If you understand that these are wrong thoughts that brings about so much suffering and misery, then why do you still hold on to them, cling on to them, grasp on to them, and keep on arising them? If you have clarity of mind, if you can awaken to all this, then you will come to a very clear understanding. This is my life. How can I allow it to fall this way? If I love myself, I will not allow all this to arise, to harm and hurt myself this way. So this type of sorrow, lamentation and suffering and misery need not arise. If you choose to be happy, you will be happy. So this game of suffering, you can decide not to play anymore. Then you determine to develop right view, right understanding, to arise the appropriate right thought, which was also my last Friday night talk at Klang. You go and listen to that one. It will teach you how to develop all the right thought based on right view, starting from the law of karma. And what are right thought? Thought that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Thought that are wholesome, beautiful. The thought that has non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion, they are all right thought. And what are they? Thought of love, loving-kindness, metta. Thought of well-being, thought of compassion towards fellow living beings. The thought of joy, sympathetic joy, mudita, rejoicing with the wholesomeness of what people have done, like how's dana and all those things. So when you are in the midst of kayanamita, when you can avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and the heedful, you will have so much more opportunity to develop the understanding of the Dhamma. It's just like what I mentioned in our website, remember? The cause of downfall is because you didn't have kayanamitas. You don't meet up with sincere, good Dhamma friends. And the Buddha mentioned very clearly in that sutta to Ananda. He said, kayanamitaship, able to have good kayamitaship or Dhamma friends is 100% of the holy life. not 50% as suggested by Ananda, 100%, means you must have true Dhamma friends, and preferably Dhamma friends who has the Dhamma. Yeah. When you have this, you will have the condition to listen to the right Dhamma, to straighten your view, to develop the appropriate cultivation based on that understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path, which is right view leading to right thought. Yeah. Then the four right effort to constantly develop the right thought. Then you have to understand what constitutes right thought. You listen to the Friday talk, then you will understand. Right thought are thought that will bring about harmony, bring about love, bring about understanding, bring about joy, peacefulness, mindfulness, awareness. That will bring about good condition for awakening. Then it will condition the right speech, the right action, and the right way to live your life. Then all this right thought, right speech, right action will improve your character, your personality, will make you love yourself, love others, because these are beautiful thought, beautiful action and speech that are without the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. They are just pure virtue, like your sincerity, your honesty, your generosity, your kindness, your goodness, your pleasantness of action, speech and thought, and your understanding, which will bring forth more peace, more joy, more harmony within your family relationship and also your relationship with society and others. So all this will lead to wholesomeness, a lot of meritorious action. That's why when you can be with the Kayamita family, you not only have the condition to meet up with the Dhamma, you can partake in a lot of wholesome things, the 10 meritorious action, everything you do. Then you will know how to keep your precept. And the moment you keep your precept, the Buddha said three things will grow. Like just now we renew our precept. The Buddha said, Silena sukanti yanti, means precept is the source of spiritual happiness. Then silena bhoga sampadan, means precepts is the source of spiritual wealth. When you can meet out with kanyamitas, when you can keep your precept, you will follow them to partake in all the Dhamma activity. Then you can listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, rejoice with all the wholesomeness, share merit, transfer merit. Then you pay respect. These are all meritorious actions. Then you keep your precepts. Again, these are meritorious actions. Then when you pay respect, four things grow. Ayu, wana, sukang, palang. Ayu is long life. Wana is fair and good complexion. Sukang is joy, again happiness. Palang is strength. All this will grow. Then the last one is silena nipundingyanti. Precept is the source of peacefulness of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, the awareness. So all this will lead to a lot of goodness, wholesomeness, meritorious action, speech and thought process. And all this can bring about great benefits, not only to you, to your family members, to all those that you have relationship, to all of humanity, society, and the world. And this is what the teaching is all about. That's why heedfulness leading to all the appropriate Noble Eightfold Path cultivation of right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. We are the four right effort. We'll bring forth the way the cultivation. Then, of course, finally, when you are mindful, you can cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, leading to the awakening. The four I have, you go back and listen to the clang talk, is very useful. The first two is to get rid of wrong thought. Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, selfishness, envy, jealousy, emotional negativity, and self-delusion. All these are wrong thoughts. And how do you overcome them? The Buddha said, you have to arise the right effort to abandon them when you see them arising. Because through mindfulness, you have to develop the understanding of what constitutes evil, the three evil roots. When you have them in your heart, they make you evil. It leads about karmic negativity, downfall. Then your life, like the Buddha said, every day you have to reflect and contemplate. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. If we don't take care of karma, if we neglect karma, what will happen to our life? You will become miserable. You will be afflicted. So this is how you start. This is how you develop the cultivation, the four right efforts, starting with the first right effort to abandon. And how to abandon them is all explained there. There are five ways. The first two ways is thought-based. I just run through quickly. The rest you can read from the Heart Sutta book or listen to the talk again, the last Friday talk. The first two is just thought-based, but it's useful. He said, the Buddha said, when you have anger, you should think of the direct opposite, wholesome thought to counter anger. And how do you counter anger? You have to arise. The opposite thought of anger is what? Loving kindness. You have to arise metta, loving kindness. Then you radiate. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well, you feel the well-being and happiness in you. And if you do this often, you listen to the metta tape often, and you continue to chant this often, even for 5 or 10 minutes a day. And sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the evening, twice a day is good enough. It will bring about very good vibration in your house. It will bring about positive mind force, the mind force of love, metta, and well-being. So this positive mind force will overcome all of your negative tendency of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, which are very negative and very eerie, that can bring about the lowering of your immune system and make you sick and miserable. So this positive love or metta force, they can reverse all this negative tendency. So it's a good practice to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought and radiate this love around. You can buy the chanting tape and play it. There are the Pali version, the English version, and the Mandarin version. Then you can continue to radiate the metta. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering, all physical and mental suffering, feel it within. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may its mind states too be without enmity, without evil and untroubled. Means free of all negative tendency. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. So you feel more and more moments of love, peacefulness, and joy within your heart. And this is how you can reverse the unwholesome mental tendency, the unwholesome thought that has arisen in you. The right effort to abandon them can be done. then you have to cultivate contentment. If there is lust, if there is this strong craving, then you have to cultivate the opposite of cruelty is compassion, to have compassion for living beings. Not only love them, feel for them, have this compassion towards them. Because when you care, when you have this compassion and this love, you develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merit. So in future, when the time comes, even when you have taken unfortunate birth, people will love you, care for you, develop the compassion towards you. That's how you can observe in our civilization too. Some of these people, these living beings, they are born as cats, animals, or dogs, or what, but they got such great parents who can care for them, love for them, and you can't make up for them, dress them out so well, and put them in such comfortable home. I was told one of the pets of one very rich guy inherited billions. They have a trust foundation to look after this dog. You have this type of palmy, it can happen. So, whatever you do, the nature's law is you reap what you sow, it will come back to you. You are kind to people, good to people. People will be kind to you, good to people. If you mistreat these animals and all those things, in future, chances are, without the sasana, you take birth as animal very frequent. People will mistreat you, kick you out of the house, stay in the cold winter and all those things. You saw all those animals, you say, wow, pity them because of their karma. But last time when they were living being or human being, they don't take care of people. They don't have that kindness, that generosity, that love, that compassion. So all this is part of nature's law. Then as you develop more and more mindfulness, sensitivity and understanding, then the next time, before this wrong thought arise, wrong thought of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, or selfishness, craving and desire, or even anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, before it arise, you're already aware. That's why you can arise the right effort to prevent them from arising. This will lead to karmic negativity. That's why the second way to overcome unwholesome thought is to contemplate and reflect, the Buddha said, on the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought. Because they are evil roots, roots of all evil, make you evil, bring about karmic negativity and downfall. And this is not what you want. So because of that, you were determined to root them out, to abandon them. So this understanding and this wisdom, when you are mindful, you can straight away nip it at the bud and prevent it from arising. That's how the second right effort come to be. Then the third right effort is to arise the right thought, wholesome thought. Good, pleasant, and wise thought, good thought. Good, pleasant, wholesome, and wise speeches. And action, so that it can bring about love, compassion, harmony, understanding, no more negativity. So this is how the third right effort can come about. You will have more and more kindness in you, more and more love in you, more and more sympathetic joy. Instead of jealousy, envy, you will have a lot of joy. You will rejoice in the goodness of what people have done, in their promotion and all those things. Then you will arise a lot of very sincere, appropriate right thought. Like your generosity, your respect, your contentment, your appreciativeness. When you appreciate what people has done for you, especially your family members, when you can appreciate what your wife, your spouse has done for you, has sacrificed for you, even towards the kid, you should have filial piety towards your parents, because you appreciate what they have provided you since young. They not only bring you to this world, give you love, provide for your needs, care for you, sacrifice for you, and willingly to give up their hard-earned savings for your education, for your future. So all this, if you can arise the mind to appreciate all this, to have gratitude towards them, you will have good life, your filial piety towards them. Then you will know how to serve them back, repay them for their kindness, their sacrifice, their goodness, and give them joy, give them happiness, so that in future you will have children that will do the same to you. Then if you were to look after your kid well, provide for them, sacrifice for them, in future you will have parents who will provide for you, care for you, give all this to you. So why not you build up all this parami, all this good condition, so that whenever you come, you choose to come or you have to come, you will have this good merits and parami, so that you will be born into the right family with good parents. Then when you grow up, you will have good children who will care for you, love for you, appreciate what you have done for them, and provide for you when you are old. So filial piety can spontaneously arise when you already have them cultivated within your nature. So life is very simple when you understand. If you want to have the good life, the good condition, like what you have experienced now, strive on to develop all this wholesomeness, goodness, born of the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching. Then the last right effort, of course, is to refine upon all this good character, good personality, virtue that you have already developed, and perfect them all. So you constantly cultivate this four right effort, you will have good life, beautiful life. Then you will have good condition to make aspiration for you to avoid the heedless, meet up with the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can come about. And this will bring forth the causes and condition for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Without this aspiration, invoking the power of merits, all this cannot happen. It will not happen, because it needs causes and condition. So life will be very simple. Instead of becoming heedless, causing your own downfall, continuously getting yourself entangled with the heedless and play the game of suffering, are you not tired? The moment this nature understands, it just see through clearly. No more of this game. This game of suffering, humanity has played for too long, and it constantly lead to misery, suffering, severe mental situation and problem. And this suffering can be so severe and intense, it can lead to mental depression, mental problems, suicidal tendency and all this thing. If you love yourself, how can you allow yourself to end up in this way? That's why our Bodhisattva vows, aspiration are very important. We have to vow to have this understanding life after life, whenever we arise, whether we choose to arise or we have to come. This right view is very important. We have to see clearly and understand that this form and mind, every segment of it that come, is not us. These are karmically conditioned for my mind, for us to come to this world. An instrument and a tool for us to live life, experience all of life. For good or for bad. For bad means to experience all the karmic. So that we are not deluded by it. So that we will make full use of it. To help us grow in the path of Dhamma. Develop the spiritual nature, the karmic nature, so that it can continue to flourish and rise, so that it will never become heedless again. And this is how cultivation can grow, can flourish. That's why the seed of Bodhi must be firmly planted and beautifully nurtured. So that life after life, you will have this understanding. And when you have this understanding, every life you come, you are so beautiful, you are so blessed. Then later on, you will come to realize nothing to do with luck. Everything is to do with how you understand life. And through this understanding, how you create the causes and conditions, how you plant the seed of Bodhi to walk this way. To be a great blessing to all of humanity and society as a whole. So with this, maybe I will stop the sharing for you to ask some questions, Q&A. It's almost an hour of sharing. You better learn how to rejoice. My throat dry already, I need a drink. So you all can take your time to contemplate on the question. Then we can continue. I can answer your question. Okay? Ching Yap. God, we should let the host say a few words. Yeah, Ching Yap and Lei Hong, he will give you a chance. He point to Ching Yap, Pao Ke Gong Wei.
Hello.
Your son can also say a few words. Anyways, if you want.
Thanks for everybody to come to the house, yeah. And for relatives, and the Kaipita members. We're happy to see all you're here. Them is very joyful, and then it's all in orderly, and then just very time taker, everything at one on time. So everybody eat in time, finish in time, washing in time, very orderly. Now we all well trained. Thanks for that.
Very good. Just like that, just talk on it.
I'm very happy that
sadhu.
Because this is the first time we have so many people coming to our house.
Wow, sadhu. That's why you must thank the Kayamita. They really.
Also, because finally we had a house tana after so many postponements.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu.
And I always wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
But I always thought that. In order to have dana, we must have a Buddha Rupa to pay respect to. At that time, I don't have. Until I went to this sister Susan's house. Then I realized that she has only Kuan Yin.
Then I said, that's why I saw your Kuan Yin. I saw your Sai Baba. Very good.
Without the Buddha Rupa, then I was thinking in my heart, like that also can. She has. I saw a Kuan Yin, and then that time, Brother Teo brought the Kuan Yin. I thought it was only with Kuan Yin that we can have it. But is it true that we are supposed to have a Buddha Rupa before we can have a...
Not necessary. Not necessary.
So the opportunity...
Because the Buddha Rupang is for you to recall to mind. So when our chanting book comes, all the Buddha Rupang come.
Okay, so when the opportunity came and Sister Pamasuri asked us whether we want to have a house dana. Actually, I wanted to have one, but don't know how to go about it.
So finally, then, it materialized so beautifully.
So, Sister Pamasuri,
your house is good. You got good energy here.
Slot us
after today, you'll be enhanced.
Yeah, you slot us in January the 1st to start the new year.
You had to postpone it.
So I went for an op and then I have to postpone. And Brother Teo is kind enough to postpone it to May.
No problem.
And then in April, this sister, Sister Anne. She
couldn't make it.
And then we postponed. Then I chose 2nd of April.
Yeah, Ching Beng.
Then because of too many, it was such a busy month, and because Ching of Ching Beng, so we got no choice to
move it to today,
16, and finally,
which is very good.
And finally, we had our house done for the first time.
and the house was very beautifully prepared and clean up and get ready.
Last but not least, I have a strong feeling that my Ang Kong and my Kong Po
very happy.
Will be very happy too they will listen. They have a chance to listen to your sharing
just now.
And sadhu to all for coming. And I would like to thank Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all the Kalamitas for making an effort to participate in our house dana. Sadhu to all.
Very good. Bye-bye. You got anything to share? Boy say like that. Very good. So now we have heard from the host. It's your turn now. yes. You just have to put up your hand. No need to be shy. Whatever you want to understand, you just can raise your hand. Tuesday class, they're very happy when Hui Rong is around. Because he will help, she will help to ask us to just push the move. Very good. Sadhu, she wants to share something.
在金马伦的 retreat 其实我相信每个人的收获都很多，尤其我们 tell 了那个 Bodhisattva vow。那 Bodhisattva vow 其实我不知道各位，然后其实我们在 Tuesday class 已经 tell 了几次，可是一次比一次清楚。
Correct。
那我在金马伦的时候，其实，在 tell 那个 vow 的时候，其实我很激动。然后突然 made 了一些 decision， 那个 decision 其实是我没有想过的。我那时候那个当下我觉得我也不知道那个 decision 我可不可以 fulfill， 可是我就很高兴回家我告诉了我的 husband。 可是他很生气。因为我的 decision 是，因为在那个时候，有一个机会，我的公司可能会被收购。然后我在那个当下，我也不知道为什么，我就 made a decision 说，我的公司被收购之后，我就要把我自己捐出来。可是，所以我很高兴回去告诉我老公。可是他很生气，因为他觉得我的 compassion 是根据我的，不是根据所有的人的。所以我在那个时候，我突然觉得我的 compassion 只是一个，我不能说那个是我在，其实那个时候我根本没有想任何的东西。那我回来之后，其实他很生气，然后之后其实吵了很多次，甚至我的老公其实一向都很让我的，然后 他竟然有一天就在 office 他就没有回来、哦、我就知道这个很大条可是我突然那个当下我突然了解到所谓的 compassion 并不是你想的那样，
对、
其实你对不论你的家人、你的同事、你的孩子，所有你身边的人，甚至你不认识的人、你的邻居、
yeah.
其实你只要有那一个 seat 在里面、
对、
你不要，因为我是一个以前我是一个比较得理不饶人的人，我觉得对了、我就要做
yeah, yeah, yeah.
就算给你难堪我也要做可是经过这次之后，我突然有一个 understand， 就是说所谓的 Bodhisattva 并不是说哦，你一定要去做义工去干什么干什么干什么，
没有这样的。
其实从你的生活里面，你其实就已经
对
可以有这样子的 practice
啊，沙的，嗯，对，
所以虽然我跟我老公有这样一段的 arguing， 可是我觉得，哎，我最后突然有点醒悟，我觉得那个醒悟不是在我 tape out 那时候说哦我要 make 那个 decision， 而是我后来之后我回家之后那样子，反而我很感谢他让我有这个 understanding、
oh,
然后让我觉得其实这是一个从你内心
yeah,
从你内心发出
来
而不是说你一定要去做什么东西，
对，啥都没有，
然后我只能说哦，可能我的姻缘还没有成熟，所以我 make a wish。
Yeah, correct. That is correct. Yeah.
虽然后来我公司的并购，我想应该是在我老公他很刻意的不要的情况之下，
yeah, yeah.
所以我可能延后10年才能够 retire。但是我觉得我很虚心的接受这10年的 training。
Yeah, no problem。
那个时间会为我，怎么讲？
成熟
啊。对对对。
成熟，因为 even， just to explain that part, she said even though she has to wait for 10 years for her to have the condition to retire or what, but this 10 year can be very fulfilling because it can mature the practice.When you take the vow, like she later understand, the Bodhisattva vow, it's not to have the thought telling you or questioning you, what can you do it? That is the thought. That is delusion. The thing is, if you are sincere, like I always say, sincerity and the faith is very important. If I have the faith and I am sincere, then I only need to persevere. The way will be there. Means I can do it in the midst of life. Like she understands.If I don't have the capacity, I just do up to the capacity I have. That's it. Then if there's no condition to do, you don't go and do. Understand not? You vow to save the limitless being. You don't go and allow the thought and question you. Hey, you vow to do that. No. Now this guy is in trouble. No. You don't want to help. That is stupidity. Understand not? I vow because I understand that this is a great vow of love and compassion.But love and compassion must have wisdom tied to it. Understand? No? If there is condition to do, only you do. Don't be a good-hearted fool. Understand? No? Oh, must donate. No? See monk. Donate. Wow, this guy like that. You see in the WhatsApp, there are a lot of bogus ones. Understand? No? Who prey on your compassion. Compassion according to your thought is not compassion at all. This is what your thought thinks.Oh, I must have love. I must have compassion. So you try to radiate love and make donation. No, that is not the real compassion. That is not the real love and compassion come from understanding. The moment you understand that the absence of evil is good, then you don't try to do good. Understand? No? You only maintain that cultivation of mindfulness of avoiding all evil. Then you are already good. Understand?Then when there is condition to do good, you will know what to do. You will not be gullible. You will not be, wow, that one, I got 7 monks and form a sangha, the merit higher. Then you go guru dana, I must offer personally to the monk, merit higher. And that is out of greed, understand? Out of selfishness, out of
craving for the merit you do, and that type of merit is not the true pure merit because it has the evil root. But when there is condition to do, then you just spontaneously go and do, that is totally different. There is no greed, hatred and delusion, and that type of pure merit is very high, and that is what Bodhisattva will do. Even like he said, people whom I don't know, from don't know where, got no connection or what, I mean this life with this nature of mine, but suddenly they appear and there is condition, I will go and help, I will do. Yeah, I see the condition, my nature can understand. But people who may be close to me or what, if there's no condition, that's it. I can't. Even if my own parents or brothers or sisters, you can ask my wife, they know. I didn't go all out to share with them the Dhamma. What for? Even the Buddha, you remember? Sammasambuddha, Buddha, Sakyamuni, after he became enlightened, did he immediately go home and help the wife, the kid and the father? No, he continued to preach outside until the father sent so many of the men to look for him. The general and his best people. And you know what happened? Everyone that went didn't come back. Why? Because they are now ordained following the Buddha. Until finally when he was told about the father's wish to see him, then also because of Rahula, the wife has an intention to ask Rahula to ask for his inheritance from the Buddha, yeah, he is the son. So he realized there is condition, that's why he agreed to come back to the palace to meet up with the parents and the wife and the children and all the rest. Then that time the father gathered all the clansmen, or everyone there. So when they were all there, you know, these are very materialistic people. They still don't believe in all these spiritual things. That's why most of them didn't even want to pay respect when he arrived. Then somehow there were conditions. The Buddha decided to come out with the condition to manifest the twin miracle, which nobody has ever done. Fire and water simultaneously come out from the pores of the body, and all. They call it the twin miracle. That is to give them faith. That immediately when the father kneel down and pay respect, all the rest kneel down and pay respect. That's how it happened. He didn't straight away after enlightenment think of the parent. After Brahma Sahampati came down and plead to him, there are some with little dust that can understand your teaching. Please go for and share and teach. Then who do he recall to mind? The first two teachers that taught him the higher concentration meditation, Alara and Udaka. Then he realized both of them already dead, passed away. Then the next one that has the ability to understand are the five ascetic. That's how he surveyed the world and found that they are in Benares. So he walked all the way there. And that's how the first sermon come about, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So this is something that is very important, very beautiful, that one need to develop the understanding. Cultivation is not what the thought tell you. It's about understanding. When you understand, there is no such delusion created by thought that come through the back door to confuse you. Everything is understanding, nothing else. If you cultivate with understanding, with wisdom, that's why you have to act with understanding. You don't act according to memory, according to your fear, your conditioning of mind, your delusion and all those things. If you act that way, you will be miserable. You will end up heedless. So all action has to be born of understanding. And understanding gives rise to wisdom. virtue. Because without understanding, there can be no wisdom. Understanding is right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, leading to all the wholesomeness. And the absence of evil is wholesome virtue. You only have to understand that. If you are incapable of evil, you are beautiful. Means you don't act according to memory. That's it. Finish. But to live life, memory is important, understand? Memory is for you to recall what? The important thing, understand? You cannot even remember your wife's name, your house, how you sign your check. That can be a big problem, understand? That is the purpose of memory. Memory is for knowledge, understand? For you to recall certain important things. But memory is not supposed to be used in the psychological field. You know what is psychological? Yeah? Your emotion aspect. Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow. This is psychological. Psychological fear born of memory. Phobia. Your sorrow, your lamentation. Your emotion and all those things. You're not supposed to use thought. If you use thought, you will become miserable. Because thought is incapable of giving wisdom, giving rise to wisdom, giving rise to understanding. Thought being limited will always have the egoic mind inside. Selfishness, self-delusion, sakkayadity. So you have to understand the purpose of thought. The limitation of thought. Thought is limited, but it has its function. To live life, to arise, you need to use thought. That's it. So use it like a tool for wholesomeness, for goodness. That's why the Buddha said, right view leading to right thought. The user of thought is important. If the user is deluded, thought will be negative. That's why before you awaken, forget about right thought. It's not going to help you much. So you need to cultivate, develop the three turning. First turning leading to second turning. The absence of evil is good. So how to have right thought? If I say love is right thought, then you have to examine that word love. Does it has any evil root? Yeah? But if it's a conditioned love, then there is an evil root, understand? What is conditioned love? Related to me only I love, understand? My children only I can sacrifice and love. That is conditioned love, understand? It's not true love. True love is absence of evil, negativity. So love is not your love, not my love, not a conditioned love. That's why they call it universal love. Love is. When there is love, means what? The heart is incapable of negativity. There is only love. If love can become jealousy, hatred, anger, and all those opposites, then there is no more love. That's why true love is without the evil roots. So anything you do when you are sincere means that sincerity must not have evil root. And then that is right thought. So the cultivation of right thought, right speech, right action, you have to check. Did I arise all this thought process, this speech and this action out of greed, out of selfishness? If I just act through understanding, through wisdom, got conditioned to do, it just do, means there is no motive behind. There is no conditioned love behind. Oh, because this person, I know him better. I must help him. I got such thing. You have seen my nature act. Sometimes people whom I don't know, I just help. Because there is condition to help. And sometimes people whom I already know very long. But if there is no condition, there is nothing I can do. You understand? Of course, this nature will try to bring forth the condition, but it will not like insist. No. It will understand. When the condition is there, it will try to arise them. But if there is no condition for the other side to receive, nothing can happen. So it's not a one-sided thing. That's why sometimes I say, you can come because you happen to fulfill one of the conditions that my nature has vowed. I vow to take across all those that appear as food for me to take. So you can be one of the chicken or fishes or things that I have taken. Then you have the condition to come. But then, because you don't have parami, you will disappear. That's it. Because you don't understand what is all this. Because that coming, obstruction, coming negativity, and what you want is so different. So even though the condition is there, you appear, but you will just ignore it and just go your own separate way. And this nature is the way it is. It can never say, oh, you give you condition, you somehow don't know how, and then get angry, and then this one will suffer. That's not. There's no such thing. You have seen people come, people go. They are just the way they are. When the condition is not there, nothing can happen. You can ask Brother Song. He said the first 5-6 years he know me, nothing happened. But later on, when the condition unfolds, he suddenly understands. There is nothing much you can do. Even my own brother, sister, if there is no condition, nothing happens. That's why I teach them differently. When they are ready, when they ask, based on what they can understand, I say, you go to Ji. That's how they find it more relevant. Because they are Chinese educated, and they are in Alostar, hardly see me. Maybe once or twice or three times a year when I go back, or when they visit me. So when they visit me, or when I receive them at my place, sometimes we talk about other things. And now their life has improved so much. Last time, every time we meet, we talk about who got problems. And I always advise them how to go about it and clear it. So all of my family members, brothers, sisters, or when my parents were around, every time got problem, my father will call me, or my eldest brother and my youngest brother will call me. The rest, they seldom call me. But these are the few that know I can solve their problem. So every time they tell me something, I will just know what to do and tell them, okay, you do all this, then you wait for me to come back. Then I will settle all this for you. And we get everything resolved so beautifully. That's why there is so much harmony, so much understanding, so much love, and so much joy. Even my youngest brother, I told you, the whole family give up on him. Even my parents give up on him. But finally, when I realized that was what my parents wished, I told them, okay, not to worry. This year, ask him to stay back. I need to talk to him. Where there is condition. Then I talk to him. And when I talk to him, it's very simple. Then he also feels strange. You know? Because before that, so many of them tried to talk to him, but they don't know how to approach him. They just call him and tell him all. They say, if you continue like that, nobody can help you. But I don't talk to him like that. I just tell him, I say, your life, you decide how you want to live. If you continue the way you are, your life will not change. And you depend so much on your dad. That time he depended so much on your dad. I say, I understand from the other brothers and sisters and your dad, which is also my dad, that at the age of 30, he still wash your clothes and your shoe. And he still support you in many ways. Then he looked at me, he said, Dad want to do what? I didn't ask him to do what. I said, you can still think, so yeah, not bad. But I said, do you ever contemplate? How long do you think Dad can live on? Let's say 20 years. By then he's 80 plus. What will happen after that? Then he suddenly like wake up, you know. He just shake his head. He said he never think until that far. I say now is the time for you to reflect on your life. Who say everybody look down upon you? I corrected his wrong thought. Now. He said every year I come back, although everybody he can sense from the way they look at him, like they write him off. They look down upon him. I say, who say that? I say, because you yourself created the condition for you to perceive you in negativity. I say, every one of them actually want to help you, but they don't know how to approach you because you are so negative in your tendency. That's why they can't. But for me, it's very simple. I'm not here to help you. I say, I'm here to just explain things to you. I say, your life, you decide how you want to live. Then after that, within about, I think, less than 1 hour or what, I just stop and let him decide. I say, you tell me what you want. Then surprisingly, immediately he told me. He said, okay, I choose the first option. I gave him 3 options. I said, very simple in life. We can help you to turn around. Yeah. Because for us, it's very simple. It doesn't need much money. We only have to invest on you maximum 6 months rental. And that time, Alostar, the shop lot rental is very cheap. I think about 1,000 to 1,200 a month. So I said, so many brothers and sisters, even I alone, I can just put in the money and let you try. Yeah, I gave him 3 options. I said, very simple. For you to turn around. Because when you turn around, your dad and your mom, which is also my dad and my mom, they will be the happiest parents in this world. Because they used to tell me, we got 9 brothers and sisters. He said, the last one is the only one giving them headache. Everybody already grown up successful. They worry about this one. I say, if you can turn around and become like one of us, or develop the understanding of life so that they don't have to worry for you, they will be the happiest parent. And initially, he cannot understand what I say. Then I explain to him further. I say, okay, I will give you 3 choices so that you can see clearly how you can turn around. These are the 3 options that you have in life, I said. One is black and white. The black lead to negativity, downfall, and this is what you are now. If you choose white, there's a possibility of change. You can come out of it beautifully. And the first option is, I said, you start afresh. You promise us to be diligent. Give yourself a chance to work towards your own future success. You can go and work for my eldest brother who has a business, let's say, manufacturing concern. You can start from rank and file, and he will give you the opportunity. Number 2, you can go to the other brother who inherited my father's medical shop. You work there as a trainee. You do well, he will give you some stake or share, and you can have your future. The 3rd option is, if you don't want to work for both of them, you start your own business, and we can help you. We just have to rent a shop lot with a, maybe quite a relatively good location. Then you can start off by selling simple things, like newspaper, the daily needs and all those things or whatever. And we can help you to order the goods and all those things. Then we will pay for your rental. But you have to promise us to be sincere, to diligently look after the business. Then if you are successful, you can have the good life. And he chose the first one. That's how he turned around. And after that, he believed in karma. He believed in donation. He keep on calling me. That's how he turned around. And he became very successful after that. So it's possible. When you have the condition, things will fall in place. I didn't even want to do anything until the condition, the appropriate condition, fall in place. Where that is the time, I feel. It's about time he can make the appropriate choice and decision. Before that, you talk to him, no use. Yeah, they said he was from that background. He cannot study. Then, as a student, he also become like, you call that one, extortionist. He going to extort the younger student, the lower form ones. Oh, he going to take money from them like that. Oh, because he was with the gangster and all those things. Because there's a gap. My youngest brother was, there was a big gap between him and my last brother. He's younger than me by, I think, 12 years. 12 years younger. 12 years younger. Yeah, 12 years younger. So that's a big gap. Then, after all of us finish our Form 5, Form 6, he was still the only one left in the small town. And because of that, my father pampered him. That's how he became what he is. Because of karmic too. Then, not until the condition arise. Then I talk to him. And a lot of things can just turn around when they are ready. Before that, no condition, nothing can happen. We should thank Hui Rong for the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why the Bodhisattva vow, when you understand, is very beautiful. You're supposed to go through it. And I saw my daughter go through it. She actually recited it in front of my altar last night. Then earlier on in the room there, I heard. He was reading from the handphone. Yeah, he saved it in the handphone. And I didn't even encourage her or tell her, you must join. No, he just want to join when the time comes. And she just text to the website. Then he said he want to join. And I asked Suyan, my daughter want to join, put her name in. And she did everything herself. She took the leave 1 year ahead. He put in the leave. Said, Daddy, all approved already. I will be there. Then now he wants to bring his friend. His colleague. Because of the website, he finds it so interesting. Last time before the website came out, he didn't really know what I was doing. Because I didn't really tell her. Because she has been away for quite a while. And because of the website, she starts to develop the interest. Then she was very happy. Very happy. Okay, any more questions? What's the time? Oh, almost 2:30 already. So already 1.5 hours. You want to end what time? 3 o'clock? Or 12:45, almost another 15 minutes, maybe 2:45 we end. Any more questions or sharing? Hui Rong can continue. Okay.
Actually, meditation 之后，我学会一件事情就是哈，我觉得我以前很压抑，也很盲目，我甚至连我自己要什么我都不知道。所以，其实，在meditation学的时候，突然会有那种所谓的，一些 你从来没有想过的念头会跑出来。
杀掉。
那刚开始你会很想要知道那个是什么，
yeah.
然后后来我才知道，原来那个是我心里面的声音，
yeah.
我以前都没有听到的。
Correct.、Yeah.
然后你慢慢你就会去知道说，哦，原来我是希望这样子的生活，
对，
我是想要这样子的东西，是我内心里面真正要的。然后你就会更有信心，然后去做一些你认为是适合的事情。
呀，啥的。
那所以我觉得我自己的 meditation， 我觉得是让我自己更了解我自己。
Yeah, it's about understanding yourself more clearly. Yeah.
然后不要让你自己的念头去抓住说，哦，我一定要这样，
yeah.
我想要这样。
啥的 ，very good。
所以变成，其实后来我知道这个 secret of the meditation 之后，我就觉得，
啥的，
其实你很好你。你随时都可以是在每一天，
yeah,
然后你也会觉得你真正是在生活。
啊、very good. That is the ultimate understanding. Sadhu. Very, very good.
不过，你才知道你真正是为什么。
No, daily life.Daily life.
否则你只是忙啊忙啊忙，然后哦赚钱赚钱，然后就这样子，你会觉得你很抬了、这些东西，
很累啊。
对，那你很清楚说，哦，其实你有一个目标，然后你想要的是什么，然后你又不去 grasp， 你又不去很抓住那个东西，
yeah.
其实你就会很 enjoy life。
Yeah, sadhu, very good.
所以我觉得 meditation 带给我的是这样子的效用，
yeah.
而不是说。我有看到什么，其实我从来没有看到什么。
Yeah, 不用看到东西的，看到东西就是糟糕了。看太多东西。
不过其实就像我刚刚说的，我其实有一些洞是真的会跑出来。以前我会抓得很紧，现在我就我知道，然后哦原来我想要这样，然后为什么我会想要这样子，然后你就会慢慢很释怀那个东西。
Yeah, very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You should rejoice. For those who can't understand Mandarin, I translate a bit. You see, in the past, when she meditated, she used to have this problem. It's like something inside her that gives a lot of pressure to her. Yali, understand? It's like there is a voice inside there talking.That gave her a lot of pressure to her to do well, to practice according to certain way and other things. And this has created unnecessary stress or pressure. And later on, when she was aware of all these things, she realized the cultivation can be very, very simple. Because when you are aware of this movement,It's actually an internal voice, which I call it the thought. And the thought always come out with this type of problem that will lead to attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, and fear, worry, anxiety. That's how the pressure all come in. And not only her, in fact, many people cultivated put too much pressure on themselves, the pressure to awaken.To do well, because they always compare. I already strive on so hard. I already know Brother Teo so many years. Then they heard people progressing. Then they themselves still nowhere. But this is all from the thought, and forget about it. What I told you is very simple. As long as you have the faith, you are sincere, you just persevere, you will awaken. Because the pressure to awaken is a thought, it's a desire, it's a craving.It's an accumulation, because you accumulate this conditioning inside your thought. And because of that, this conditioning, which is a craving, a desire to progress, trigger off a type of stress. In Mandarin, it's called 压力, like put pressure on you. And your mind has this mental hindrance, that's why it cannot meditate. And that craving to progress is another mental hindrance. So all this, without you knowing, like she said, they are there. That's why she finds it so unnatural to cultivate at that time. Then later on, as she developed awareness to see all this, then she realized, if you have the faith, the sincerity, and you just do, persevere, then everything will fall into place. Then she starts to understand that life itself is the meditation. Life itself is what meditation is all about. Then you find that there is no more of this pressure on you, stress on you to do anything. You just be at peace with the moment. Just be with the moment in awareness, silent awareness, to understand what is going on. Then all this will clear up. Then also, there is a Krishnamurti quote that just came in earlier on before I start. It talks about this, and I read to you so that you can understand. The title is, Why Do We Accumulate? Krishnamurti said, it seems to me that our many problems can never be resolved until we approach them as an integral part of the totality of experience. We cannot understand the totality of experience as long as we break it up into components, as we are doing now. That's why Krishnamurti always mentioned this. We cannot live a fragmented life. You understand? Fragmented means you break up. The whole is the existence. But you fragment it and say, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, and this is what all this thought is creating for you, the division, the fragmentation. Then you will have problem. That's why Krishnamurti said, the difficulty is that our problems are so intense, so immediate, that we get caught in them. And not to be caught in them, the mind must begin to be aware of its own process of accumulation. See? If you have the awareness, you will break free. By which it gains a sense of security for itself. After all, why do we accumulate property, money, position, knowledge, and so on? Obviously, because it gives us a sense of security. You understand? That's why when you are young, what do? You work so hard for money. You work and work and work for money, for what? To have a sense of security. You understand? That's why we accumulate. Buy a house, own a car, and all those things. Actually, there's nothing wrong with all this. But when you don't have the understanding, then it becomes a problem. The Buddha say you can have, but don't attach. You understand the meaning. When there is condition for you to have, it will come. Don't crave for it. Don't desire for it. And don't panic when you lose it. Because this is a condition arising entity. This is not what you think. And the totality means what? Your karma. You have your karma, your karmic inheritance, your parami. All this will come to you. That's why you have to have the understanding, the trust. But you don't have the parami if in the past you have been doing all this nonsense, rob people, cheat people, deceive people. Whatever that come to you will get lost in the same way. You will be robbed. You will make mistakes. You will get into all this problem. So this is what Krishnamurti meant when he said, you may not have much property or money, but if you have knowledge, it gives you a feeling of security. It's only to the man who has no sense of security of any kind that the new is revealed, because he is not concerned about himself and his achievement. So when you just walk towards it, like meditation, as long as I am sincere, I have the faith, I persevere, then the result will come. Understand? Then you don't have the fear. Then as long as I understand the natures that governs life and existence, if I need to have wealth, I must have the parami, generosity parami and all those things. Then I must work towards it sincerely. I must not cheat. I must not deceive. Then when you do this, there is no pressure on you. Understand? Whatever will be, will be. Things will unfold because you follow the right path. You are incapable of negativity. That's why the understanding of the totality will free your mind. You will not develop the craving, the attachment to accumulate and to own all this. But you understand all this can come about through the nature's law. And you can do it. It's not difficult. But of course, if you, in the past, you have been doing all these funny things, then you expect this life to come, to have all this accumulated condition or wealth and other things. It's impossible. But you have not done it from the past. So for these people, what must they do? What must they do? If you happen to fall into this category, what must you do? You have to repent, isn't it? That's how repentance come about, asking for forgiveness come about. Then vow not to repeat all this and start afresh. Then invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions to avoid the heedless, the foolish. Meet up with the wise and the enlightened one so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. And this is how you pave the way for the cultivation to come about. And you do it line after line with this understanding. You will progress very well and you will become very beautiful. That is what the teaching is all about. That's why don't go and fear, don't go and worry, don't go and accumulate and do all these funny things. People who do all this because they are not sure, that's or not. They think by having all this wealth, it can give them security, that's or not. Once they are without that wealth, there is fear. Such a people will have problems. It's just like last time I used to share. Last time in Thailand, people believe in the Buddha image, you remember? The Buddha image, they call it what? Sampoa. The amulet. And they pay so much money for it. So when they buy one, which they have faith, because they paid so much money, they are very confident. But the moment this one is lost, I tell you, fear seep in straight away. So, what type of understanding is that? The faith is based on what? Based on the thought. Which is not the real thing. The Buddha already said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma condition, supported by your karma. You are what you are because. And yet you will depend on amulet for your good life and well-being. This is real delusion, isn't it? If you don't take care of karma, no amount of amulet will make you safe or secure. So the Dhamma is the one that will free you, liberate you, and give you the understanding. And completely transform you. No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, nothing. It is the understanding that free and liberate, nothing else. Not the amulet, and not all the materialistic wealth that you hold on to that give you security. No. If you don't have the parami, they will still go. If you have the parami, they will come to you. That's why take care of the essential thing. Do what you need to do. Okay? Again, we have to thank Hari Rong. We better end. So with this, we would like to once again thank the host, Brother Chingyap and Sister Lia Hong and family for allowing us to have the condition to partake in this beautiful the house Dana Parmi and the beautiful sharing of the Dhamma and all the rejoicing that is possible. Let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then let us share all these merits and wholesomeness with all beings within this vicinity, known and unseen. especially to the devas, the Nama protectors and all the devas around this vicinity and house. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyatam anumoditva cirang rakanta lokasasana itavata samehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodanto sabba sampati siddhya idāme ñātinā hotu sukhitā hotu ñātayo idāme ñātinā hotu sukhitā hotu ñātayo idāme ñātinā hotu sukhitā hotu ñātayo imina puñyāṃ kāminā māme bālā samāgamo Satan samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Jam and all the worthy ones that we had.